This morning, I want us to look at our life and listen to what God has to say to you as an individual and to you as one of His children. As God deals with us, He says, I had a plan. Now listen, folks, when God has a plan, His plan will be followed through with. God has a plan. And God has a plan for each individual life. Now, Satan has no authority to change that plan. Satan cannot change that plan. Because God says, this is the way that it's going to be. Now, as you and I look at our life, understanding that God has laid out life in our presence and in our behalf, remember, the life He gives you is important. You see, God doesn't mess around with anything that's unimportant. Therefore, each and every individual is important. Well, in telling the story of life, your life and my life, God lets me know and lets you know. He says, look, I've laid out this plan. I know that that my people that I call, I know they're going to turn their back on me. I know they're going to do exactly what I tell them not to do. But I love my people. And God had prepared to be able to take care of His people in every situation. Now, God knew in advance that His people, Israel, the Hebrew nation, would be in captivity. God knew they were going to become slaves. So God had already prepared to free them, prepared the heart of Moses, a deliverer that God had called, prepared the heart of Moses to deliver the people. But you can deliver the people, 1 million or 2 million, however many it was. You can deliver them, but what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with the people? God had a plan. I'm going to take them to the wilderness. For you and me, that doesn't sound like much of a plan. I thought we were going to the Hilton. No, you're going to the wilderness. So God turned the wilderness into something far greater than any hotel you will ever see by man. In that wilderness, He decided, I'm going to call my people across the wilderness, and my people are going to be well taken care of. So God rained down from heaven a food product or a grain called manna. Now, in the Hebrew, if you get a definition of manna, or what the Hebrew people would say it was, they looked at it. God said it's manna, and the Hebrew translation of manna is, what is that? That's the Hebrew translation. What is that? And I love my paraphrase on it. What is that stuff? That the scripture tells us is angel food. As grain from heaven. Psalm 78 verses 24-25 tells you exactly what it was. It wasn't growing on trees. Wasn't doing any of that. It was rained down by God, because God had a plan. And God was going to see to it that His people were fed. So what is that? Became a blessing from God. It was God's food, God's drink, God's clothing for His children. He's going to take care of their body. I knew you was going to sin, So I made preparation for that sin. I'm sending you this manna coming from where? Heaven. And this manna is going to sustain you. 40 years they ate manna. And the people, well, you would think that they would start rejoicing. God took care of it just like he said he would. But do you know what they did? They griped and whined. Whining about a gift from God. Well, it ain't what I wanted. They didn't want a cheeseburger and a whole group for 40 years. All that health food. They were eating food provided by God to make sure their body could sustain a wilderness wandering. You ever feel like you're in the wilderness, wandering in life? I mean, my goodness, everything. Have you ever had those weeks, months, sometimes a couple of years and running there, everything goes wrong? I don't care what it is. I don't care how hard you tried. I don't care how much whatever you bought cost. It turns to nothing. Wilderness wandering. God said, look, I provide you the food through the wilderness. Now I'll have to tell you, in our congregation, I know about all of our congregation. I don't know of any in our congregation that are hungry. Okay, I'll leave that alone. I'll tell you this. God provides. Hadn't he blessed you? Hadn't he given you more than you feel like you deserve? Well, he hasn't. Because he chose you to be born. And he's given you the freedom to choose him. Listen to Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. But the people got tired of God's gift. Huh. Might sound a little like America. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. He humbled you, God. Humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known. It wasn't something that grew on a tree. It wasn't any of that stuff that you hear or read about. The scripture says God rained it from heaven. But he did it to teach you that man does not live on bread alone. I think I remember Jesus quoting that. Man does not live by bread alone when Satan was tempting him, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. But they didn't like it. They had gotten to the point they lost their appetite for God's gift. They just were fed up with God's gift. Because they had focused their mind back on Egypt, where they got the pheasant. They were fed well so they could work in slavery hard. And they got their mind going back, oh, I remember the pheasants. I remember, well, what do? When you get mad at a message that God is sending, when you get mad and angry at life, you take it out on the messenger and you take it out on the one who gives the greatest gift. For you have to make them the bad guys. You have to take it out on someone. They lost their appetite for God. And how could you tell? They started whining. They started whining. Listen to this. But now our appetites are gone in Numbers 11:6. All we ever see is this manna. What is that stuff? And yet that's all that has kept us alive for 40 years. Well, I would say it must have been pretty good stuff. You know, Brother Randy, there is not one record in that whole 40 years of them having to build a hospital, them having any trouble with health. It seems like that God sent them and gave them exactly what they needed. But they had to feel their fill of God's blessings. Here's the result. God heard them whining. Moses heard them whining. Well, let me give you a little more background there. So God's man, Moses, he's the one doing the leading. He's the one that told him to trust God. He had married a Cushite woman. Miriam, his sister, and Aaron, his brother, didn't like that. She was a different color. They didn't like that. So the scripture tells us that story during this same time. And they were so angry that he had done this, that they griped about Moses' leadership. And they said to one another, somebody always stirring up something, did God only speak to Moses? Did he not speak to us also? Who does Moses think that he is, leading us into the wilderness? And we're forced to eat manna. None of them were forced. If you didn't want to starve, you'd eat it. But they chose. Don't ever do this. This is scriptural, certain death for you. Don't ever gripe about God's man, God's plan, or God's love. Don't ever do that. God will take care of his men. God will take care of the leaders that he sets in place if they get out of line. But they griped and moaned. God became extremely angry. Numbers 11, verse 10. Moses heard all the family standing in the doorways of their tents. Here's a good translation for you. Whining. Hey, I got a sign in my office. Big plaque. Wooden plaque. You walk in there and it says, no whining. If you're coming in to whine, you need to go somewhere else. You got a problem, I don't care how big it is, I'll get in the ditch of life with you. They ain't going to listen to that whining stuff. It never changes anything. So God, Moses, God's leader, is listening, and the family standing in the doorway, the tents, whining. And the Lord, listen to the word, became extremely angry. So you're going to make extremely angry the creator of all? Not wise. Moses was also very aggravated. Not just according to how you understand the translations on that. Let me tell you what had happened with him. Now you got to learn something in these messages. At one point, God said, Moses, these people did push me to the point I'm going to wipe every one of them out, and I'll build a better nation through you. I'll get another people and all of this. And Moses, as a man who loved his people, said, no, Lord, don't, please. For their sins, charge me with it. Let me take their punishment, but don't destroy them. And because of Moses, God said to him, I will not lay their sins on you, but I will spare them. And then a little later on, I mean, these people had really went wild. A little later on, you hear Moses saying, Lord, I think you might have had a pretty good idea. I really do, Lord. Let's go back and revisit that. But it was too late. The story had been told. So they were upset with the manna God sent them for food, the clothing, everything. Manna represented it all. I'll take care of you. Then God, in showing us that story, brings us in to our story of the New Testament. More manna. This time, manna was a person, Jesus Christ. The manna sent from God, a person this time. We're taken care of. And the manna coming is Jesus. But the problem is, has our nation, America, have we lost our appetite for the manna of Christ? Have we lost our taste? Do we not see the greatness of the Son of God that indwells each and every heart of the believing Christian? Do we not appreciate a nation that's greater than any nation that has ever existed because Jesus?
Here's what I found.
A nation that God has given us to watch after us as we watch after one another. A nation is only as great as those who share the love with their fellow man. It's love, not hatred, not bitterness, not deceit. It's love. So God rained down. Jesus says, I'm going back where I came from. I came from heaven. I'm going to ascend back to heaven. Oh, and by the way, He said, but I'm coming again. This time, I'm coming to bring you home. Well, you see, God's plan has always been followed through by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God uses the plan of God, the plan for life and of life, to bless you and me. Do we appreciate it? Do we thank God for this nation? Do we thank God for all the work He does by giving a nation and making it so great that everyone wants to break the law to come here? They love America. Listen to this. God's food and drink and clothing for the Spirit is Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 49 through 51. Your forefathers, now John's, or Jesus is telling the story here of what took place to bring it to their attention. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I've told you that. I'm leaving the body, but I'm not dying. You're going to leave your body, but you're not going to die. You can't. The debt's been paid. Christ has come. Therefore, you will live forever somewhere, heaven or hell. One of the two, you will live forever. I am the living bread, Jesus says. Oh, they got upset at that. Do you ever notice some people just want to get upset? They got upset. that I am the living bread, Jesus says, that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, and then they said he was a cannibal and was teaching it, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus says, I give my flesh. Why do we understand it? We understand it, the true Christian understands it, because of the Holy Spirit that has convicted you, and that Holy Spirit that makes you that Christian, leads you to Christ. You accept Christ. You are a Christian. The Holy Spirit tells you the story, and you know the story is true. Again, God's people lost their appetite for God's spiritual food. It is so foolish, people, to condemn the gifts that God has given you, or to attribute the giving of that gift to Satan, to the evil one. That's called blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Blasphemy is at any point to where God's name and his gift to all of us, or whatever he does, that God's name and his gift is attributed to the power of Satan. Oh, the devil did that. That's magic. God doesn't do magic. He does a lot of miracles. Nothing magical about it. He's the creator of all that exists. I'm sorry that some people don't see that. But he is in control. He's in control of your destiny. You know what Jesus said in one of his messages? He said, for those of you out there afraid of these people that are threatening to take your life because of what you're preaching, he said, don't fear them. You don't have to do that. Here's who you need to fear, Jesus says. Fear the one who, after taking your life, has the authority to cast you to hell. Him. He is the one you need to fear. They lost their appetite for God's spiritual food, the Son of God. You know, God has tried to give us so much. He offers, he gives, but here's one thing you remember on that. He never forces. He will never force you to accept his Son. He will never force you to read his word. But he will give you the gift and the ability to do so. And if you can't read, that's okay. He'll send someone who can, and they'll preach it to you, read it to you. That's the God we serve. He said, I'm going to take care of my creation. John 6, 61 through 63. Aware that the disciples, now these aren't the 12. Right now he's in the midst of all of the followers that he had at this period of time. They're everywhere. There are hundreds of them following him. But once he made them a statement, you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Whoa! They said that's a step too far. Why? For they were following him for the wrong reason. The scripture says that many of them saw how he fed the people. So they followed him for the food. They were following him for the wrong reason. And the scripture says at that point, many of them listened to it. Disciples were grumbling about this. Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Because see, they just got caught. For the true believers knew what Jesus was speaking of. Had nothing to do with flesh eating or drinking, literally drinking his blood. It had to do with, once again, a parable that only the true believer could understand. What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? He was getting ready to do this, you know, to just take off, floating right up into the air. The Spirit gives life. Now listen to this. The flesh counts for nothing. You got me? The flesh counts for nothing. The foolishness of your life will be left right here in the dust of the earth. It's the Spirit of God in you that accounts for everything for you. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Spirit, and they are life. Amen. You're a spiritual being. You just happen to be trapped in that body that's messing up. You're caught inside of it right now. Don't you worry. You won't stay very long. You know, Randy, there ought to be a song, "I'll Fly Away," in there somewhere. Because I'll fly away, oh glory, some glad morning. That's that Spirit, the real you, a flying to glory. Because you already have the glory of God. Oh, folks, we are rough around the edges. Your pastor's one of the first ones to admit it. Amen. I don't have a choice but to admit it, because I got Randy Kidders all around me. You see? Yet we love one another. The rough edges and all. I'll fly away, oh glory. Because I believe in who Jesus is. I don't believe on my perfection, which doesn't exist. I don't believe in my thoughts, which 99% would be evil. It's the word of Christ that is in my heart and your heart. That's not only what gives us hope, that is our hope. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, no judgment can touch me. And God warned the people, don't you ever judge my man, my word, or my plan, because you are going to lose. Result, extreme anger. Here's where Jesus said that. Luke 12, verse 5. Fear him who after the killing of the body had the power to throw you into hell. Yes, Jesus said, I tell you, fear him. Don't be afraid of this world. Don't be afraid of their words. But you stand up for the word of Christ. God will lay out inside of you a love story that you can share with the world. God does that. Trust God to do that. Allow him to be Lord of your life. Allow him in your heart. His manna from above gave his life that you could live forever with him. His name is Jesus. Take the word of God to heart, for it is the heart of God, the blood of God, because he loves us that much. That's the word of God, and it doesn't get better than the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we lift our heart to you, Lord. We lift the good times and the bad times. We lift life itself. And Father, once again, I pray as we're lifting our heart to you, that you will touch Casey. And Father, give Dustin the strength that he's going to need to be with his wife and to be that daddy you've called him to be. Touch both of them, Father, with your miracle touch, your loving care. For I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.